Forever 21 isn't quite forever. From Washington Today, I'm David Brancaccio. It is the ultimate makeover. The clothing chain Forever 21 announced last night it's filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection and will undergo a, quote, global restructuring. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins me live here in Washington. Nancy, what happened?
David, Forever 21 was all about fast fashion. It said it got new merchandise in every day so consumers could always have the latest thing. It also promised low prices. The result was fast, disposable fashion, but young consumers are moving away from that. Forever 21 stores are mainstays in many malls, but fewer people were coming in because traditional malls are getting less popular. And also, of course, people are buying more clothes online. And in spite of that, Forever 21 kept opening stores. That all adds up to a Chapter 11 bankruptcy.
What are next steps?
Forever 21 says its Canadian subsidiary has also filed for Chapter 11. But Forever 21 is going to close 178 stores in the U.S. It's also going to shutter most of its locations in Asia and Europe.
What about, you know, the company's customers?
Well, Forever 21 says it's going to operate, quote, in a business-as-usual manner. That means it's going to honor gift cards and accept returns and exchanges. It's still going to operate its website. It says its suppliers and landlords are supporting its restructuring efforts.
Now, I've been to an H&M, but I don't think ever a Forever 21. What about you?
One time, about 5 years ago, I thought it was just for teenagers. But, David, I got a sweater I really liked.
Fast fashion? Did you throw it out in a week?
I still have it, but I haven't been back in a Forever 21 since then.
All right. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thank you. Well, today's the deadline for all companies with more than 100 employees to report salary data to the federal government. Employers have been sending in demographic data for decades, but the data on pay, broken down by gender, race, and ethnic background, is new. This is about addressing the persistent pay gap for women and minorities. From the Workplace Culture Desk, Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino reports.
On average, women in the U.S. still make just 80 cents for every dollar earned by a man for the same work. The disparity is even bigger for women of color. To tackle the problem, we have to see it clearly, says Emily Martin with the National Women's Law Center. That means looking at the data.
Because some employers think, well, if I don't look at it, it's not a problem I have to deal with.
The information could be used to better enforce discrimination cases. But the move has met resistance from many in the business community. Mark Wilson with the HR Policy Association says employers complain it's costing them millions of dollars to set up the reporting systems, and they don't account for all forms of employee compensation.
Healthcare benefits, the 401k benefits, all those types of things really aren't measured.
This may be the first and last year employers have to meet the requirement. The Equal Employment Opportunity Commission has changed leadership under the Trump administration and says it will no longer require the reporting in future years. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
Let us do the numbers. The 100-share index in London is down 0.2%. Here, S&P futures are up 0.3%. The Dow future up 0.2%. A trade story that bears watching, the World Trade Organization has already found that both the European and U.S. big airplane manufacturers, Airbus and Boeing, get government subsidies in violation of trade rules. Both Europe and the U.S. will face penalties, but the timing of those penalties is out of sync. This week, the WTO is expected to announce the Airbus penalties, meaning the U.S. can hit Europe with an additional, it's expected, $7 billion worth of tariffs. What about the wrongful Boeing subsidies? The WTO plans to announce what tariffs the European Union can levy on U.S. goods, but not until next year. Needless to say, this will make rising transatlantic trade tensions rise even more. Marketplace helps you stay sharp on crucial matters related to business, the economy, and money. And to help you do some numbers of your own, you can get your very own Marketplace Pencil Pack when you become a Marketplace investor today. It's a set of six pencils, each stamped with a favorite Marketplace quote, yours for a donation of just $5 a month. Support public service journalism and get your Pencil Pack today at marketplace.org. And thank you. The chief financial officer of Huawei, the controversial Chinese tech giant, is fighting her extradition from Canada to the U.S. Meng Wanzhou is being held on charges related to the company's business dealings in Iran. Since Canadian authorities detained Meng last December, China has slowed or stopped imports of some Canadian crops, causing economic hardship for farmers there. Emma Jacobs reports.
Marcus Hurl looks over rows and rows of soybean plants on his farm in a French-speaking region of eastern Ontario.
Yeah, that's all soybeans all the way up.
As the days have gotten shorter, the leaves on his plants have turned yellow and started to fall. That means they're nearly ready for harvest, but he doesn't sound happy about it.
The marketplace will not give us what we need to cover our cost of production.
Production costs are up, but the price for soybeans is down because of the loss of an important market, according to Ron Davidson of the trade association Soy Canada.
We have not sent a bulk shipment to China since the end of 2018.
Shipments of other Canadian crops to China have also slowed or stopped, including canola, beef, and pork. With canola, China blamed pest contamination. But for soy, there's been no explanation. Sarah Pittman, policy analyst at the Canada West Foundation, says it all looks very much like retaliation for Meng Wanzhou's continued house arrest.
We don't have a smoking gun, but we have a lot of circumstantial evidence.
The canola industry is taking a major financial hit, says Brian Innes, vice president of the Canola Council of Canada.
Over the course of a year, we estimate that's about $1 billion.
China's trade war with the United States means Canada faces competition from American crops in other markets like Europe. For Canadian farmers, all this adds up to a lot of uncertainty. They don't know what supplies to order for next year, Innes says.
It makes people really uneasy.
Farmers like Marcus Hurl do have one option, try and wait out the political impasse. He'll be packing a lot of the beans from this harvest into his metal silos.
And another one there, and then there's a few off-site also.
Hoping he can get a better offer for his soybeans once prices rise again. In Montreal, I'm Emma Jacobs for Marketplace.
And one last number, 620,000 free TVs. Ahead of the big 70th anniversary of the Chinese Republic tomorrow, the government there has been handing out 32-inch flat-screen TVs, according to the Xinhua News Agency. The sets go to low-income households so they can watch the parades and such. In Washington today, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.